up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Thursday. That will make it a buck off Thursday here on B&E, Show of the People. Off we go, and very, very cold conditions to start your buck off Thursday this morning. It is 36 degrees right now in West Austin, colder in other outlying areas, and it's going to be as warm as it'll be all day today. Temperatures continue to drop throughout the morning commute. There is a really strong chance of precipitation as well. Joining this is the temperature will drop to 34 degrees in an hour, 32 by 8 o'clock this morning, and obviously that is freezing, so we'll certainly keep our eyes on the roadways as winter conditions making their way into Austin, Texas, and throughout central Texas this morning. There's also a blustery north wind that you're dealing with this morning. We'll drop those wind chills even colder, make it feel even colder, so make your plans as you're getting up and getting out on this Thursday morning. Maybe you're getting up and staying in this morning. Might be the better way to go. But whatever you're doing, we appreciate you being there. Hope you can ride with us all morning long on 104.9, on 101.9 AM 1260. We are always streaming live and local and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. And boy, do we have a lot to get into. Divisional playoff weekend on tap in the NFL. Four tremendous football games. We'll continue to preview those. Also recapping the teams not playing in the NFL. Bottom of this hour, we'll talk to our buddy Ari Temkin from up in Dallas, Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Kind of a post-mortem of the Cowboys season-ending loss to the 49ers, where they're headed into the offseason now up in Big D. We'll talk to Ari. Also, some other great guests throughout the course of the morning. Talk Texas football, busy night in the NBA, college hoops, and a lot to do as we get this rolling. As we talked about yesterday, Bucky out today and tomorrow. He is headed up to, he's actually getting on an airplane this morning. Safe travels for him as he's headed out to ABIA to head back to Pennsylvania and see his friends and family in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. He'll return on Monday. So Isaiah Collier is through the glass and here. He and I, along with our great guest lineup, will get you through your Thursday morning. A buck off Thursday. Buck on, Zay. How are you, bud?
Pretty good, E. Appreciate it.
You ready for this? You getting geeked up for these final, these four playoff games on Saturday and Sunday? It's, as I've said many, many times over the 22 years that we've done this Show of the People thing, this is my favorite weekend of the National Football League season, and it's one of my favorite weekends of the sports calendar. It really is. Divisional playoff weekend. I know Championship Sunday's great the following week with the Final Four in the NFL. Super Bowl Sunday obviously is big, but man, to get 2 days, the riffraff, as we've said, has been cleaned out. The pretenders are gone. The contenders remain. And this is my favorite weekend. And Nick, I can't remember one that looks like this is, that sizes up like this one, Zay, with four games, but man, flip a coin in each and every one of them.
Yeah, these are some big-time matchups, and I am for sure excited. One game I don't think a lot of people are talking about is that Bengals-Titans game, which I think could be a very interesting one that the Bengals maybe be able to run the table.
Yeah, well, I mean, you like the Joe Burrow side, huh? Smooth, super swag Joe Burrow.
And there's just something about certain teams having to wait a week to play, and I don't think that's going to benefit the Titans. I think it's going to benefit the Green Bay Packers, but not the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, you have some news, developing news coming from Tennessee, Nashville, coming up on our news headlines. So, yeah, buck on to divisional playoff weekend. We'll continue to discuss and get into it. Big night in the NBA, Zay, so we'll talk about the good stuff going on in the hardwood. And we'll get into some Longhorn news because our buddy Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7 with an interesting story about Gary Patterson and a conversation that Chip had with Gary Patterson before the basketball game the other night. We told you Gary Patterson has not been made official, but he's working already in a capacity as a special assistant to head coach Steve Sarkisian, showing up each day, and was actually there on Tuesday at 6:30 to oversee and be a part of the team's winter workouts, strength and conditioning workouts. So clearly Gary Patterson is in. Did you ever think you'd see Gary Patterson, like we saw him on Tuesday night, with sporting the Longhorn pullover?
No, never in my life.
Never in
that
my
was
life.
The highlight for the Texas basketball game, easily.
Yeah, because that was not a good game for the Longhorns. But, yeah, Gary Patterson sitting there, and he's got the Longhorn pullover. But interesting, the Chip did have a conversation with him and gleaned some information that we can share and talk about as we look for what the role is that Steve Sarkisian is serving for that Gary Patterson is serving for Steve Sarkisian. So we'll dive into that. Texas football, Longhorns maybe still in the mix for a transfer portal wide receiver and a linebacker, which we'll talk about here coming up throughout the morning. Just a lot to do. And it's a buck off Thursday. That means it's your day to let somebody have it, as we like to say. The buck on and the buck off. Who needs a pat on the back? Who has earned a kick in the hindquarters? You decide each and every Thursday here on the show of the people. We've been doing that a long, long time. Even without the buck, who's headed back to Pennsylvania, we'll say buck on to Bucky Godbolt. Hope he enjoys his 4 days with friends and family. And I hope he's safe. I mean, it's going to be, he's leading me in cold temperatures today to go to colder temperatures, much colder, if you can imagine, up there in eastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he's lost his mind. I understand family means everything. I get that.
Yep.
But, whoo, yeah, that's some serious cold that the Bucks running into up there.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I look at the weather before we get to the headlines, it's 36 degrees right now in Austin, Texas. It's, as I say, by 7 o'clock, there's a 100% chance of precipitation, a sleety, wintry mix, which is not good timing because then by 8 o'clock it's supposed to be freezing. Then it'll jump back up to about 34, it says here, but it's going to hover right around the freezing mark throughout the course of today. I don't think we're going to. I don't be too unequivocal about it but I don't think we're going to see a lot of road hazards because the temperature is not going to get cold enough, at least here central. Here in Austin, where the temperatures will be a little bit warmer. Outer line areas, though, as this wintry mix makes its way in, certainly could present a problem. I know road crews are with TxDOT are up and out and ready to ice roads and overpasses and bridges. I don't think we're going to deal with that. The coldest temperatures today we're going to see in the next couple of days are coming tomorrow and into Saturday with really, really cold temperatures. But by then, the precipitation is supposed to move out, and one shouldn't have to deal with that. Just cold is what we're looking at. Then, but keep an eye on it this morning as you get up and out. But I don't think it's going to be much of an issue for your morning commute. But we will certainly keep you posted as that develops. Speaking of posted, let's get you the headlines, the trending topics of a busy Thursday. UBO Business Services brings you the news, and we'll start over at the Irwin Center. Zay mentioned that what not a good outcome for the Longhorn men's team on Tuesday night. It was a better night at the Irwin Center last night for the Texas women as they trounced Iowa State. Iowa State came into this game 16-2 on the year, 5-1 in the Big 12, and the Longhorns beat them 66-48. Absolute beatdown for Vic Schaefer's squad as they improved to 13-3 and now 3-2 in Big 12 play. Back-to-back Big 12 wins for the Longhorns. Now to Longhorn football. What we reported earlier in the week is now official with a statement yesterday from now former Longhorn kicker Cameron Dicker that the former Lake Travis Cavalier will indeed forego his final year of eligibility and he is going to pursue a future in the National Football League. Also yesterday, multiple news outlets that cover the Big 12 conference reporting that the conference intends to shift from the current 10-team league to 2 7-team divisions when BYU, Central Florida, Houston, and Cincinnati join the league starting in 2023. Under the reported plan, Texas and Oklahoma would be split into 2 separate divisions under the current workings of it, but it's certainly unclear how long the rivals will even be in the conference with their pending move to the SEC. Obviously, this won't affect 2022. Looking at 2023 there. Major quarterback news involving the national champions coming down yesterday. Word that Georgia quarterback JT Daniels has entered the transfer portal, which was followed by an official announcement from the current starting quarterback at Georgia, Stetson Bennett, that he will be back for his senior season in Athens. Daniels, the former 5-star recruit who started his career at USC, transferred to Georgia in 2020, but dealt with multiple injuries while there. That opened the door for Bennett to win the job and lead the Bulldogs to a national title. NFL, Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry took another step towards being activated before the Titans' divisional playoff matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals on Saturday. Henry was placed on injured reserve back on November 1st because of a fractured foot, but he participated in the 2 contact practices the Titans have had this week, and according to coaches, have responded well. That's a key checkpoint in his recovery process. Titans want to see him participate the rest of the week and decide if they're going to activate him for the game on Saturday. Titans-Bengals, 1 of 4 divisional playoff games this weekend. That's the early game Saturday, first game of the weekend. Then Saturday night, Green Bay hosting San Francisco and what's going to be frigid Lambeau Field. Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, the quarterback looking good injury-wise to play in that game for the 49ers. L.A. Rams are at Tampa on the early game on Sunday. Then Buffalo is at Kansas City. on Saturday night, and Sunday night, I should say, in what should be a great one. In hoops, quite a night of NBA action last night, including the Spurs. They roll past the Thunder down in San Antonio. DeJounte Murray posted his 8th triple-double of the year, 23 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds. Speaking of triple-doubles, how about the night for reigning league MVP Nikola Jokic? All he did last night was score 49 points, grab 14 rebounds, and fed Aaron Gordon for the tie-breaking three-pointer with 1.9 seconds to go in overtime. That was his 10th assist. And he led, of course, Denver past the LA Clippers 130 to 128. Quite a night for the MVP runner-up last night as well in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid tied his career high with 50 points in just 27 minutes on the court, leading the 76ers to an easy win over Orlando. Rockets beat Utah last night 116-111.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so jam-packed in the headlines on a Buck-Off Thursday. A lot of good stuff in there, which we will talk about. We just got a text on our Specs text line, and Buck, on to those who do contribute that way. This is our listener who lives in Wichita, Kansas. 6 degrees in Wichita this morning, he says. See, could be worse today. We've got 30 degrees on our man in Wichita. This says, Buck-Off to Omicron. It's been kicking my two-year-old's butt for the about a week now. Over it. Yeah, the Omicron COVID strain is really wreaking havoc and causing a lot of issues. I think I saw where Pflugerville schools are closed the rest of the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they don't have enough teachers. Well, and it's an issue. Staffing and the problems people are dealing with, it is crazy. Every day, everywhere you turn, you hear another story of someone that's tested positive, that's dealing with it. So we continue to buck that off. But we've got plenty of sports, plenty of football conversation. Zay, that you mentioned the Tennessee game, one that you think might be sneaking under the radar for a lot of people. How about the Derrick Henry news? Does that do anything for you? Change your thoughts when it comes to Joe Burrow and the Bengals?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit, but they've been rolling without him. It's going to be interesting if they try to bring him back. Not necessarily too soon, but if they try to put the playbook on him to where he might not be ready to carry the load like he once was.
Yeah, I think they're going to be careful with him, but at the same time, if Derrick Henry is cleared and healthy, and as I mentioned, he's gone through the contact practices this week, they want to see him get banged around a little bit, how he responds. So far, that's been, you know, check the box for Derrick Henry. But, you know, that's the argument would be, I see your point completely. You know, don't come in and try to put the whole load on Derrick Henry. But they've had to learn to win without him while he's been out and figure out ways. And Deontay Foreman, the former Longhorn, has been a big part of that in that running game. Ryan Tannehill. But, boy, to add him back, he's, you know, one of the premier players in the league. And certainly the offense for the Titans had been built around him, but you wonder how they merge him back in. But if healthy, I don't know that it can hurt, because you know if the Cincinnati Bengals see Derrick Henry in there, they're going to have to load that box. They know that big monster's coming at them, and he can wear down your defense and wear out a football game. And, you know, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, that's a big physical football team. That's what you think about when you think of Tennessee. Just like their head coach, Mike Vrabel, big and physical. I mean, big physical receivers. Derrick Henry, Deontay Foreman's a big back as well. They want to lean on you. They want to wear on you. They want to beat you down. And then Ryan Tannehill coming off play action. You know, that's, I think, in the quarterback matchup, in that divisional playoff matchup, you'd favor the Bengals, obviously, with the season Joe Burrow has had. But when Tannehill has that strong running game and a healthy set of receivers, they can be difficult. They can be very, 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 I mean, that's why they're the one seed and obviously had a week off.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing with me, E. Do I trust Ryan Tannehill to take his number one seed Tennessee Titans and put them in the AFC Championship? I mean, he's been getting it done all year, but then there's been certain games where you're like, wow, who is that taking snaps? You know, he looked like the wide receiver instead of the quarterback. But that's the thing that I'm kind of sitting on, that I don't know what's going to change my mind. Right now I have the Bengals, but that could alter before Saturday.
You're on the Joe Burrow bandwagon.
I love Joe Burrow, man.
Well, he's a special player and plays his best in big games. He did in college. He has this year those wins down the stretch over Kansas City and Baltimore that put them as the division champions. And he's a big-time player. He's, you know, pretty quickly turned the fortunes of that franchise. Ja'Marr Chase isn't bad either. I mean, they've got weapons there. Joe Mixon has been great. I mean, these games are just star-studded that we'll see this weekend. Somebody texted and said, hey, please don't yawn through the Rockets win. That was a great win for the Houston Rockets last night. How about a Rockets fan up early this morning on a cold Thursday? Rockets did win in Utah. We'll get back into the playoffs. We'll talk to Ari Temkin, bottom of the hour, Cowboys Radio Network. We'll also talk a little Big 12 basketball with Ari, Longhorn-related, the scuffles of Chris Beard's team here of late. But, Zay, the NBA last night, that's your forte. You're the right call, Zay, with the right call tonight, correct, 8 o'clock?
Oh, yeah, we're going down tonight.
Going down. Zay's got his own show, 8 to 9, following Longhorn Weekly with Chris Beard at 7. And you got some NBA to talk about after what we saw last night. I mentioned, you know, last year's MVP and runner-up were Jokic and Embiid. They were on display last night, my friend.
Yeah, like what people talk about the center all the time and where'd it go. I mean, what Joel Embiid and what Nikola Jokic have been doing has been absolutely amazing. Luka was dominant last night, but yeah, I got a big-time show tonight. Very excited.
Luka, I didn't mention that. I just saw that score, 102-98. He scored 41 last night, had 14 rebounds. You know, it's that time of year, right? So we're in the black end of the NFL's playoffs. We're down to 8 teams left. We'll be at the Super Bowl in a couple weeks and All-Star break, but this is really when the NBA takes some center stage, and the star players are the star players. I know in Brooklyn, the Nets are dealing with the injury to Kevin Durant. That'll be a month, maybe 6 weeks long, which is unfortunate. But this is the time where you want to see, you know, your team hit the accelerator if they are a true contender in the NBA. And Luka was great last night in the win over Toronto. Rockets get the win. And Denver, I mean, is Jokic your favorite to repeat as MVP right now, Zay? Or is there a...
Nah. I don't think so. I think that they're at a point where they need to make the playoffs, and they're kind of sitting at six right now, so it'll be tough for the Joker to get it again. It's tough because a lot of guys have been in and out the lineup. You would think Steph would be, you know, first in MVP, but they've been treading water for a while with Draymond being out, and they've been struggling trying to get Klay back. So right now, MVP is low-key wide open. Like Kevin Durant, I think it was his to lose a couple of weeks ago. He gets hurt. He's going to be out a month. So right now, Joel Embiid, he's putting on a show. He's had, like, at least 12 30-point games in the last month, including that 50 ball last night. So Joel Embiid, he might be in number one for it.
50 ball in 27 minutes. How bad is Orlando? I know Mo Bamba playing for the Magic. But
no, he had a great game, too.
He did. He did for the former Longhorn. But can we play 50 points in 27 minutes? I mean, that's some output right there.
Yeah, he was killing. And a guy that big shouldn't be able to put it between his legs and do crossovers and the jump hooks and step back jumpers and shoot threes. He's an absolute matchup nightmare. And that's what I'd say about Zion. People talk about, oh, should you have picked Ja Morant over Zion? Yeah, maybe, but be patient with him if you're the Pelicans. It took 3 years for the Philadelphia 76ers to get Joel Embiid on the right course. Now that he is, look what he's doing. So the Pelicans, they have no choice but to be patient with Zion.
Yeah, well, NBA, we'll move into the focus as we get going through the NFL season. I mentioned in the Big 12, as we get into some college football, we'll talk to Ari Temkin at the bottom of the hour. I'll get to this Gary Patterson story as well. I think it's really, really intriguing what Chip Brown reported over at Horns 24/7 yesterday, which we'll get into. Also, Craig Way has the Craig Way report coming up. More on that big win for the Texas women last night. And Ohio State came in as one of the best teams in the country, and Texas beat them down. We'll get more from Craig on that game last night. But the Big 12, now this is interesting. You know, how long will the Longhorns and the Sooners still be in the Big 12? You know, that I think it's pretty clear they're going to be in the conference in 2022, when it will still be a 10-team league. But, you know, beyond that, is that it for them? Because the Big 12, according to multiple reports yesterday, is making their plan to add the four newcomers to the Big 12. Obviously, if Texas and Oklahoma are still in the league, it's a 14-team league that the conference would divide into two 7-team divisions. And if they were to bolt after 2022, and a lot of people believe 2023 is the target date now for those two to move, it would drop back to a 12-team league and it would be two 6-team divisions, which makes sense. But if indeed the Longhorns and Sooners are both back because of contractual TV contracts and negotiations in this divorce, you know, it is interesting because the Big 12 is going to hold Oklahoma's and Texas's feet to the fire as far as their financial output. the punishment for jumping conferences, breaking the granting of rights deal that the conference had with all of its member schools. So that, you know, negotiation process will continue. I think both sides, you know, would like it to be a clean, easy break if possible, because, you know, the Big 12 has responded and kind of landed on its feet with the acquisition or the additions of Cincinnati and University of Houston, Central Florida, BYU will join the conference. But at the same time, they want their money, Zay. Give me my money. They're planning on it. But I mention it because if they do have to play in the 2023 season in the Big 12, the plan is for 2 7-team divisions, a Big 12 South and a Big 12 North. But under the plan that was reported yesterday by multiple outlets, they would split the two schools, Texas and Oklahoma, which makes sense because when they do indeed leave, you don't want to have to reshuffle. So you would just drop back to six with a 12-team league. But as it stands now, the reported divisions would be the Big 12 North would have Cincinnati, the addition of BYU to go with Iowa State, Kansas State, and the Oklahoma schools, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Big 12 South would be Baylor, Houston, TCU, Texas Tech, Central Florida, and West Virginia, which obviously, I mean, as I just look at that, if Texas and Oklahoma were staying in this conference, I think you would keep Oklahoma and Texas in the South, keep them in the South and put West Virginia back into the North. I mean, West Virginia doesn't belong in the North or the South of the Big 12, does it?
No, not at all.
That seems odd. And that doesn't seem to make geographical sense. But that's how they have it. And obviously they're splitting it for now just as the two schools leave. They can pair back. But even then, I'm not sure what West Virginia is doing in the South. I guess they could reshuffle it again. I don't know. But that seems, I mean, why would West Virginia and Cincinnati not be on the same side of the conference? I mean, they're talking about regional rivals. They're in each other's backyard. Cincinnati to Morgantown is not far. Yet in this, you know, current plan that is being reported, they'd have the Big 12 North with Cincinnati, BYU. I mean, okay, Iowa State, as we say, the Kansas schools and the Oklahoma schools. I don't know if that's smart on the Big 12's part. But point being, if the Longhorns and the Sooners do have to play a year, or some say even two, because the contract runs through 2024 and into 2025, if they have to play a year. Would they force the regular season game so you get the Red River rivalry and a crossover, or would they not play that year? Those are things that we will follow as this develops, but the Big 12 making its preparation for the departure and the addition of four new schools. We'll get into that throughout the course of the morning. We'll maybe mention it with Ari Temkin coming up as he covers the Big 12 for SiriusXM. But he also covers the Dallas Cowboys, Ari does, for the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. As you hear the games here on the horn, or you had heard them all year long on the pregame and the halftime and the postgame show, we'll get Ari's thoughts on the disappointing loss to the 49ers, the future for the Dallas Cowboys, the coordinators that are people are in hot pursuit of, Dan Quinn, of course, on defense, Kellen Moore. We'll talk to Ari about all those. Craig Way has his Craig Way report. It's the B&E fact of the day before the end of the hour on a buck off Thursday as well. Be careful out there. It's cold, it's windy, and there is precipitation coming in your morning commute. There's no doubt. We're just getting warmed up, though, here on the Show of the People on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on the horn on a very cold morning, obviously. Pretty amazing yesterday, nearly 80 degrees. Almost hot yesterday. Sweaty if you were outside. And obviously not the case this morning. A 50-degree temperature drop. Welcome to Texas. Say, how do you tell somebody you're from Texas without saying you're from Texas? It was 80 yesterday. It's 30 today. That's kind of the way that goes in the winter months here in the great state. But be careful out there. Don Miller will have your traffic throughout the morning. It's going to get colder throughout the morning commute, about 34 degrees right now, and temperatures dropping with precipitation in the forecast. We'll keep an eye on that. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and talk to a great friend of the show. Always good to join us here in this first hour ahead of his busy day. He is Ari Temkin from the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network, also host of the Big 12 Today on SiriusXM, talking college sports as well. Ari, how are you, bud?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Cold up there in the metro, up there in the Metroplex.
Ooh.
A little chilly.
Well, in my house, flooded last year in February during those winter storms we had. And
yes,
so
right.
I am full on dripping my faucets.
You're not going to risk it again, Ari. You're going to wrap the pipes and drip the faucets and open the cabinets and all of it, right?
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, you know, I grew up in Chicago, and so, like, you know, when I'm told to drip my faucets, it's like never something I've ever done in my life. What do you mean? And, you know, like, why would I do that? And then, you know, that happened last year. It's like, oh, okay, I get it now. Insulation, all different kinds of stuff. Yeah, that makes it nice.
Built a little different down here, my friend. Built a little different. Well, let's talk some Cowboys. We talked to you last week ahead of the game, and, you know, it's impossible for any Cowboy fan who's watched his team this year to say what they saw Sunday was surprising. It was certainly right. Frustrating. It was maddening at times, but at the same time, it's what we talked about, the Cowboys' own mistakes, which cost them opportunities. And you got to give the 49ers credit. They are, you know, physical team coming in hot, and, you know, their strengths kind of play right into some of the Cowboys' weaknesses. But what were your biggest takeaways from the 23-17 loss on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just said it right there, E. As soon as the game ended, it was like, well, I don't know why I'm surprised. That's exactly the team we've seen for the last 2.5 months. You know, a defense that keeps you in it and an offense that just can't get out of its own way, whether it's, you know, really bad play calling, it's missed throws, missed opportunities, really bad penalties. It's all there. And so, yeah, I mean, it was one of those things. As soon as the game ends, you're like, I don't know why I picked this team. Why did I pick them to win? What was I expecting to be any different about this game? And, you know, I'm for frustrated Cowboys fans. What was I expecting to be any different in the last 2.5 decades?
Well,
and, yeah, I'd like to see the Cowboys hold their coaching staff and specifically their offensive coaches accountable for it, but I don't know that we're going to see that.
Yeah, I mean, and as we've talked about, and you know this, I mean, that's where it's a salary cap league, and a large pot of that money, a lot more than the defense, goes to the offensive side, and it's the side that's underperforming. You know, obviously the coaches don't sign the contracts, I get that, but at the same time, they've invested heavily in the offense. Defense is, you know, not as expensive, and that's the side of the ball that carried this team down the stretch and gave them opportunities in these games. I already mentioned you do the, you know, post-game call-in show, so you get to hear from the fans immediately, the visceral, emotional reaction. What was the gist and the tone of the fans mostly on Sunday night after the loss?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a desperation still, you know, just a depression to a certain degree, because, you know, it's not Mike McCarthy's fault that this team hasn't been to an NFC championship game in 25 years, but it doesn't matter that it's not his fault. That's the burden for him to bear. And so, you know, I mean, you get it. This is a fan base that's frustrated, that is looking for answers. And so, I mean, you get people to lash out at Dak, and you get people to lash out at Jerry, obviously, and, you know, I think, look, everybody, and then of course everybody's focused in on that final play call.
Sure.
You know, the quarterback draw. But, you know, my whole thing on that is, I mean, you get the ball with 3 minutes to go and 3 timeouts down 6, go win the game. I mean, that's, you don't even need 3 timeouts, with 3 minutes left. But the Cowboys had one big play on that drive, and then it stalls out, and then it turns out they turn it over on downs on some bad plays and, penalties. And so, you know, I mean, you get the ball back with about 38 seconds and no timeouts. And, I mean, at that point, you got a very low chance and likelihood of winning anyways. So, I mean, certainly it was a weird set of circumstances that, you know, where the officials running in and, you know, bumps in a Dak. But, I mean, everybody knows he has touched the ball to reset it before the ball snapped. But, you know, again, I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on 3 minutes to go. You got your quarterback that you think is the guy. Go win the game.
Yeah.
Go win the game.
That's funny. That was kind of my thought on Monday. Was everybody's going to focus on this final drive that was kind of a desperation, you know, low
right.
percentage opportunity. Anyhow, if you had won it, it'd have been, I don't want to say a miracle, but pretty close. Yeah, let's talk about that drive before that, when you had just under 3 minutes in the timeouts, and you're only down 6. Your defense had kept you in it, and the Cowboys really couldn't move the ball past midfield. That was your real opportunity to go win that football game. And I think you said it. If Dak Prescott is going to be into this elite conversation that we're going to watch this weekend with guys like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Matt Stafford, obviously, you know, that's the game, that's the drive you have to lead your team and go win the football game.
Yeah, no question. You know, I mean, that's, you know, I hate to go back to like, well, yeah, that's why you're paid the big bucks. That's why you're paying the money. But that, you know, I think it's the money or not. It notates that there's a belief in him that he is the guy. And if you're the guy, then you're supposed to be leading those drives. And look, I mean, it's like anything else, circumstantial. There's context associated with it. I mean, the line didn't block well, plays, you know, play calling, catching. But at the end of the day, I mean, you play in these playoff games and quarterbacks make the difference. And in this case, the quarterback didn't make a difference, and neither did the coach, the head coach. And, you know, I mean, it's fair to say Dak Prescott did not play well the final 2.5 months of the season. You know, everything I heard internally from the Cowboys was nothing was wrong with the calf, but, I mean, it's hard not to question that. And, you know, I mean, he needs to do better.
Yeah, he does.
It just can't be about, well, the offensive line, blah, blah, and context. Like, it just can't always be about that. Sometimes quarterbacks just have to make plays.
Well, and clearly his offensive line didn't play great either. The 49ers really owned the line of scrimmage with a 4-man rush. And, you know, then there's Mike McCarthy. I mean, everybody's going to focus on the coach and the quarterback. Both coordinators are in high demand for future, you know, head coaching jobs, including obviously Dan Quinn. He's going to maybe have his pick of jobs after the job he did with the defensive side of the ball and the leadership he showed there. Kellen Moore is apparently a hot commodity. But then there's Mike McCarthy, and that begs the question, you know, what is it he's doing? I mean, he's not calling plays. He's listening to the headset. You know, John Bones Fossil runs the special teams, and he's there in McCarthy's ear. So, you know, what is it McCarthy's in charge of? He's not the rah-rah motivational guy. The team is highly penalized and undisciplined. I guess that falls on him. I'm 2 years in, I don't see a great case for allowing a guy like Dan Quinn to leave and not at least consider replacing Mike McCarthy with a guy you just saw, you know, for a full year, absolutely get it done with the defensive side of the ball.
Well, and you hired him because you thought he was the difference maker that could get you over the hump. You know, I mean, you hired him because he has the Super Bowl winning experience. And, you know, at this point, he hasn't shown to be a difference maker. And, I mean, you just watched a guy on the other sideline, and Kyle Shanahan, that's a difference maker. And granted, look, I think Kyle Shanahan is a brilliant offensive mind. That goes without being said. But there were certainly some, like, I think there were some decisions he made in this game that kind of allowed the Cowboys to stay in it. I mean, there's some fourth down decision making where it's like, I mean, you're running the ball at about 5-6 yards a carry on this team. You're not going to go for it on 4th-and-1 there? Okay. It's a little weird. But again, Kyle Shanahan's a difference maker as a play caller, as a guy that schemes up a game plan offensively. And we saw more of that again on display in this game, and I don't see any of that with Mike McCarthy. I don't see a difference maker. I see, as you mentioned, the most penalized team in the NFL that had 14 flags thrown on them, and then a team that after the game is over is complaining about the flags. I mean, you're the most penalized team in the NFL. You don't get to complain about officiating when that happens. You've got, you know, Doug Nussmeier and Kellen Moore and Joe Philbin and a bunch of guys on your offensive staff that have all called plays before. You know, Joe Philbin's been a head coach at the National Football League level. Doug Nussmeier's quarterback's coach has called plays at the NFL level. Obviously, Kellen Moore has too. So you've got three guys that have done this in addition to Mike McCarthy, and nobody in 2.5 months could figure out schematically how to fix what was wrong with the offense. Nobody's pulled Kellen Moore aside in that final game and said, hey, maybe go target CeeDee Lamb a little bit more because he's getting man-to-man coverage on the outside. And We need him to go consistently get and win, and he can win on the outside with one-on-one coverage. Like Brian Broaddus said the best kind of throughout the season. You know, Kellen Moore doesn't exactly have, you know, a bread and butter schematic. You know, he's a play collector. You know, that's what Broaddus called it. He's a play collector. He goes and collects plays and then installs them. But he doesn't have a bread and butter. He doesn't have an identity in terms of his play calling. And I don't know that you need it, but it certainly seemed like when this team was grasping for something in the final 2.5 months of the season, they needed it.
Well said. Ari Temkin with us here this morning on Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Pre- and post-game shows all season long. You heard it right here on the horn. And everything you say brings up a new question and a new thought. The Mike McCarthy issue, and you mentioned CeeDee Lamb, because I know Troy Aikman, the Hall of Famer, the great Cowboy, was on one of the stations up there in Dallas yesterday talking about frustration with what you just said. I mean, you're trying to scheme it and game plan it instead of just playing the game. And he pointed out that, you know, as you said, CeeDee Lamb was seeing soft single coverage all night. He said, back in my day, that, you know, Michael Irvin would have 10 catches by halftime. We're just going to attack that. If they're going to play loose coverage, you know, run the hitch route, run the real route. We're gonna make them cover 88. And the Cowboys throughout the course of the night really didn't do that. And you know, Aikman talked about how coaches make it hard. They're kind of overthinking the game here instead of just getting the ball to your best players and giving them opportunities.
I mean, isn't that something? And we said Kyle Shanahan did that. You know, I mean, scheme up ways to get Deebo Samuel the football. Be creative about it. And I mean, how impressive is Deebo Samuel? He's a good player. He's a really good player. But so much of his success is the way that they get him the ball. You know, looking at those numbers before the game started, he lines up on the outside, he lines up in the slot, he lines up in line. You know, there have been 50 or so snaps he had taken this year in line as like tight end. He snaps, you know, takes snaps at running back. We just, if you've got, you know, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, and plus Dalton Schultz is third in the NFL in receiving yards, it's just, and you're going up against a secondary of the Niners, not very good. You just didn't test them enough. You can't, you mentioned this at the outset in terms of the you know, the salary cap and offensive spending for the Cowboys. The majority of their money is spent on the offensive side of football. So going into the season, we said, you know, this offense should be elite enough to get you really far. It's just that the defense can't get in the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you lose these games to good teams against Arizona where they score 25 points, you know, and the 49ers score 25 points, whatever it is. You know, it's like that can't be enough to beat you. You've got to be able to put, when all of your money is spent on the offensive side of the football and you're being saved by the defense, number one, that says a lot about Dan Quinn. As you mentioned, that's a difference maker. And everything I'm hearing says he's going to be off to Denver to be the head coach of the Broncos. I think that's a huge mistake by the Cowboys. I don't buy what the Cowboys are selling me on McCarthy. I know it's only 2 years, and I do think, you know, you got to give coaches some time, but you don't have time. You hired McCarthy because he was the guy that was going to be the difference maker to get you where you wanted to go.
That's right.
He had that experience.
He was the missing link, right? He was the upgrade from Jason Garrett and the mediocrity he brought. And obviously, it's been more of the same. And some, you know, it's an even less, it's even a less disciplined team than it was under Jason Garrett, which leads to the continued frustration of Dallas Cowboy fans and what the future holds. We'll keep an eye on that Dan Quinn story, Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy. I agree with you. I think they could do better. And heck, I just would keep Dan Quinn. Real quick, Ari, because we're up against it, but quick thought on the Longhorn basketball team. Back-to-back Big 12 losses. Now, I know there's a lot of frustration here with Chris Beard that maybe the expectations were high, preseason top five for a lot of people, and right now scuffling. But is this just part of the process with the new roster that they've thrown together here?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, Kansas State has now gone and won again, so they don't look as bad as they've been. And they're a fringe tournament team, depending on if they can turn it around. But that, I mean, doesn't excuse the loss at home when you're, you know, clearly the better team. I'll say this. The game for Marcus Carr is probably the part of this that maybe makes it more easy to swallow, because you need him to play at this level. You know, the Longhorns have needed their guards to play better. Their front court is good. Their back court has been really bad and not consistent. And we saw Andrew Jones blow up in their last win, and it's like, okay, I mean, if they can get consistent scoring from somebody at guard, that's going to be huge. And so it was good to see Marcus Carr step up and score 25 like he did. They need him. But, yeah, this is a surprise for sure. I mean, before the season started, you definitely consider Texas up there with Baylor and Kansas in that top tier of this conference because of their coach and because of their players and the people they brought in through the transfer portal. And, you know, up until now, it just hasn't taken. But, you know, everybody goes through struggles at some point in the season. The problem is that Texas has kind of gone through this all year. They didn't play anybody good in non-conference. The two teams they played that were good, they lost to. And they're a really good defensive team that just can't figure it out on offense. And so they've got to figure it out on offense. And that's their ceiling. Until they can figure stuff out on offense, their ceiling is pretty low.
Yeah, appears to be right now, which thought it was a high ceiling entering, but it's a long season, as you said. All right, thanks. Always great. Always appreciate the perspective, and we'll check in as the Cowboys offseason develops and the college basketball season evolves. Thank you, buddy.
Talk to you soon, bud.
All right, Ari Temkin, the host of the Cowboys Radio Network pre- and post-game shows right here on the Horn, and of course on the flagship there up on the Fan, and then over on SiriusXM, the Big 12 Today, Big 12 Radio, it's called there, Channel 375. Appreciate Ari. We come back, we'll pick up these conversations. A lot there, a lot to chew on with the Cowboys. It's more a lot of what we talked about throughout the week with Mike McCarthy in the future. We'll also get into the NFL divisional playoff games this weekend. And this Gary Patterson story, really intriguing story by Chip Brown, Horns 24/7 this morning, about a conversation he had with the new Longhorn special assistant to the head coach back on Tuesday. So we'll get you details on that in our Coach's Corner. First, on a cold Thursday morning, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate Ari Temkin jumping on, talking Cowboys football, little Longhorn hoops in there as well. Cowboys trying to figure it out, but everybody talks about Dak Prescott, Mike McCarthy, coaches. You know, it's Jerry Jones, right? I mean, it's 25 years, 26 years now we've been talking about it, and different coaches, different quarterbacks. At the end, the constant is Jerry, and that becomes the issue. I know people, a lot is made about my promise to walk to Dallas if they win a Super Bowl with Jerry as GM, but that promise was based on the belief that they never will, as long as Jerry is in full control of football. And that's, you know, proven to be true, and I believed it then in 1999 when I made the promise, having covered the Cowboys in their glory days of the early 90s and the Super Bowls and how great they were, and then the breakup because of egos with Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones. It just seemed obvious that if Jerry Jones was going to let his ego get in the way because he wanted to prove he could do it himself and build a roster and win a Super Bowl, that it just wasn't a good recipe. And obviously it's been proven to be the fact now for more than a quarter century for the Cowboys. But he's still a tremendous owner, marketer. The Dallas Cowboys are the most valuable franchise on the planet. And, you know, that's what Jerry does. He sells hope. He sells the Cowboys. And, it's amazing how they're still America's team. And TV ratings still gangbusters. People love them. They hate them. But they really don't win at a high level. But that's the story of the Cowboys. It will be another offseason of trying to, you know, sell hope, find an answer, push the right pieces. And meanwhile, everybody will all Cowboy fans will sit back and watch the divisional playoffs this weekend, then watch conference championship weekend, then watch the Super Bowl instead of being a part of it. And I think it begins and ends with Jerry Jones and has for a long, long time now. We will preview those divisional playoff games. Mentioned 7:10. We'll get into our coach's corner. And this, our buddy Chip Brown over at Horns 24/7 wrote a story overnight about a conversation he had with Gary Patterson at the basketball game on Tuesday about his role. And it leads to an interesting conversation. We'll get into that coming up. We're also talking hoops and buck-ons and buck-offs. Appreciate you bringing those. As we said yesterday, buck-off, not nearly enough, but thoughts and prayers, the loss of Ron Franklin. That's a huge buck-off for me today. The great college basketball, college football, NFL announcer and voice that we lost this week at the age of 79. Very sad. Very sad to hear that because, as I say, I grew up in Houston, and I'm trying to think. In Houston, Ron Franklin was on Channel 2. I think it was called Big Channel 2 or 2 something. As a kid, you're watching, now we watch a million channels, but when you're a kid, you just, you know, and you love sports, you wait for that sports report, you know, about 20 after, and there, you know, Gifford Nielsen was over on one. You know who else was a sportscaster when I was growing up down in Houston, in addition to Ron Franklin and Gifford Nielsen, Gifford was the Oilers quarterback who then became the broadcaster. The current Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick of our state was a sportscaster.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was the dude doing the sports, goofy guy doing the sports. But Ron Franklin, one of those guys, and did it as good as anybody. Former voice of the Longhorns as well. One of the buck offs on a buck off Thursday. So it's going to be an interesting Thursday. Bucky, obviously, if he's in words of Bucky, is on his way. Get on a plane about right now. Bucky gets to the airport like 3 hours early. So his flights, he said, at 9, so he's already there. He's there, dragging his bag around. He's there, Zay. But he's flying off to Pennsylvania to see his family. He's going to spend divisional playoff weekend in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, his hometown. He'll be back on Monday. Next hour, we'll talk about this Gary Patterson story. We'll also talk to Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman. His thoughts on this Longhorn basketball team scuffling at this point. Back-to-back Big 12 losses. BD will join us. Other great guests throughout the course of the morning. We'll also get you a B&E Fact of the Day here in a moment as we come back, get your headlines as well. Huge night in the NBA. All three Texas teams in action. All three posted wins. Luka had a huge night in the reigning MVP and the MVP runner-up. Both had enormous games in the NBA. We'll get you details on that coming up on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.